Chris. We talked about how Chuck Vola was going to talk about interpreting tongues, prophecy, healing, things like that. He didn't get a chance to do that last week, and rather than taking a whole Sunday school to deal with those topics, we're going to wait until after we're done this study and then a little bit of a workshop. So a few weeks later, we're going to deal with those, but we're going to try to stay for today and for the next few weeks very practical. What do we see in our church? And we're not seeing tongues. We're not seeing those things. We're not going to deal with what we're not seeing. We are going to deal with those a little bit later, but let's deal with what we do see. So we're going to continue on thinking about spiritual gifts and trying to be as practical as we can be. And so today we're going to start talking about some of the serving gifts. We talked about the speaking gifts, what we saw in the New Testament, what gifts we might have as speaking gifts. But today we're going to start talking about the serving gifts, and this is really broad, very broad. I will begin again this week. We'll see how far we get. Well, Lord willing, we get through three of them this week, and then Chuck Vola will do the other three or so next week, Lord willing. Is it next week? Next week. So the serving gifts that I have listed for that I was looking through are serving, broadly serving, giving, showing mercy, leading, helps, and administration. And so today I want us to look at serving in broad terms. What is the serving gift? Giving and showing mercy. And remember, this whole study, we want it to be really practical. So what we're going to do is just slowly go through the Bible, see what it says, what are some of the characteristics, and then how do those characteristics find expression in the church. We want this to be practical because we want to see and to help you locate what are the gifts God has given me. How is God using me in this church? And remember, this isn't about bragging. This isn't looking at, oh, look how good I am. But it's looking at what gifts God has given me. What gifts has God given me to serve the church? So it's interesting as you look at these serving gifts particularly, all of these serving gifts are going to be commands for every Christian. So all of the things we're talking about, every Christian should be doing these things. Every Christian should be showing mercy. Every Christian should be giving. Every Christian should be serving one another. That's baseline Christianity. Almost a lot of what we're talking about are commands for everybody. But what we're looking for is to help us individually say, well, how is God gifting me? We're all supposed to do this, but maybe God is gifting me so in a special way I'm effective in this kind of service. So that we're all supposed to do this, God has given me an ability by His grace to effectively, very effectively do this. And that's what we want to do. So I want you to be thinking about yourself as we think about these scriptures. And where do I locate myself in these gifts? Where do I see myself? So that I can be more effective in how I serve the church and how I'm useful in God's kingdom, wherever He puts me or wherever He draws me. So first, let's talk about serving in general. I'm going to do a little bit different. We're going to go a little slower this time. Instead of having a lot of people read the scriptures, I'm just going to read them. So I want everyone to turn to look at the scriptures together so we can all be looking together as we talk through. And some of these are very familiar, very obvious, but let's still take our time. So let's look at first at the serving list. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Peter writes, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. We already talked about those speaking gifts. Then he says, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So in these verses, when it talks about serving, in general, what does this tell us about serving? Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. What do we see about serving? You can look at the verses and tell me the words. Okay, so it's not our strength, right? It's God's strength. So as you're gifted with this in a special way, God is strengthening you to serve one another. And there's a purpose for that. What's the purpose of that? To glorify God. And I want to start with that to get us all in our minds as we begin. God has given me a gift to serve. God has given all of us a gift. If you're sitting here and you're a believer, God has given you a gift to serve the church, to be useful in His kingdom. And it's for a single purpose, to glorify God, right? So let's start there. Why has God given you a gift? So He could be glorified in you. Murray?
I think that's particularly striking in this situation, because if there was anything we all thought we could do, it would be, you know, we can carry something or we can do something for somebody. We see somebody that's struggling with something and, oh, well, I can help out with that.
Mm.
And it would be very natural for us to think of ourselves as doing it. So it's interesting that it's not in the speaking gifts where you would think, oh, I can't do that. But it's in the serving gifts that the Lord says, and this is by God's supply.
Yeah.
And for His glory.
Yeah. So just thinking back to my sermon a few weeks ago, if we're not abiding in Christ, we can't do anything. It's not even the stuff we would say is the easy stuff, right? We can say, maybe if I was this great apologist, I can't think of this as a great apologetic person because I don't have that gift. I need God's help to speak. But do I need God's help to set up the tables? Do I need God's help to do that for His glory? Well, yeah, sure, I can set up tables, but I can't glorify God setting up tables unless He is strengthening me and He is filling me, and I'm doing it for His glory, right? And so even the littlest things, even as we serve, we want to be thinking, I'm doing this for God's glory. And that's a great point, Murray, and I think that's good to set that stage here. We're not diminishing these things. We say these aren't the small gifts. All gifts are God's gifts, and all gifts give God glory. And that doesn't that elevate all of the gifts? Wherever you're doing, whatever you feel gifted to do, God is gifting you for His glory. That's how you get to glorify God. That's your fruit you're bearing for God. That's glory, and that's wonderful. It sort of raises all those things up. All right, well, he's also listed in Romans 12, verse 7. We're going to look back at Romans 12, 7 in a few minutes when we look at the others, but let's not turn there now. But the root word, the Greek word, I don't know if I put this on your list, diakonos, and that's the root word behind all of these. There are different forms. Diakonos, what does that sound like? That's the Greek word. Deacon, all right, so everybody knows that. Diakonos, where we get the word deacon. So the whole idea, if you think of what does it mean to serve, what is serving, what do those things look like? Well, think of what should a deacon be? And a deacon is one who's specially gifted to serve in this way. And so often we're looking for deacons, we're seeing who's really gifted to serve in this way. And that's one of the things we look for in a deacon. So that just maybe helps you to think through what we're talking about with serving. All right, well now I want to look through some scriptures now talking about serving, and this is at first, we're going to look at some examples, and then this is going to grow a little bit to get a better sense of what maybe that looks like. So first, turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is stuff you are all familiar with, but again, I just want to put it in the context of these kind of gifts here. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give His life a ransom for many." The only point I want us to see there, as you look at those words, serving is not a little thing. Jesus came to serve. Jesus puts Himself in that category. Now, He does lots of all these other things, but He says, "I came to serve." So as you see yourself being gifted to serve one another, That's a glorious thing. That's what Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. And so that's a wonderful thing. Now, He served in these mighty ways, gave Himself a ransom for many. We're not called to do that. But we are called to follow Jesus. And if you're gifted that way, you're gifted in a special way, as Jesus was, to serve. So that's the only point, just to see how wonderful that is. This is a high and noble calling to serve one another. Now look at Matthew 20. We're sticking Matthew for just a few minutes. Matthew 20, verse 26. Jesus says, "It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant." Whoever wishes to be great shall be your servant. So again, this is going to elevate that sense. What does it mean to serve one another? That's how we are great. That's how God uses and makes us great in His kingdom as we serve one another. Now, I was reading this verse in the context of gifts, and it's funny. This is just how my mind works. I started thinking, wow, if somebody's really gifted in being a servant, it's like they have a head start ahead of me to be great in the kingdom. And I'm like behind because maybe I don't have that gift as much. Like I'm struggling to serve, so I'm struggling to be great. But they're gifted to be great. They're gifted to be a servant. So they're like, they're going to be better than me. And I had this weird sense of like, man, is that fair? They're like ahead of me and being great. I thought, that's so silly. I said, but that part of my mind, that's where my mind sort of jumped there. That we start thinking about who's great in the kingdom, and we start thinking about these gifts, like God's giving somebody a gift so it's easier for them to do something that it's harder for me to do. I mean, is that kind of fair? And then I realized that's my humanity, thinking about when I think of others being great, others getting a better, a richer reward, that's between them and God, right? And ultimately, I have to go back to the grace that says, I deserve hell, right? I don't deserve any kind of benefit. I don't deserve any kind of greatness. I don't deserve any kind of reward. Isn't it wonderful, no matter what I have to struggle with, no matter what the size of my gift is or what my gift might be, God's given me something. And I should just rejoice that he's getting glory in other people who are gifted more than me. He's doing something in their lives that maybe he's not doing in mine. That's wonderful. That's glorifying God. The wonder is that I'm not going to hell. And if ever I start getting jealous about somebody whose God is gifting more than me, I got to go back to that. I live in grace. I deserve hell. And God is transforming me however he chooses. The vine dresser is pruning my vine however he chooses so that I can bear fruit. And that's a wonderful thing. Chuck?
I wonder, too, if we distinguish between serving as a gift and as a grace, so that in a broad sense, even the other gifts, even the speaking gifts, are forms of serving.
Yes.
You know, so some serve through speaking, some serve through showing mercy.
Amen.
Or through exhorting. And so in that broad sense, every Christian gets to serve according to their gift,
yep,
even though it's not the gift of practically meeting needs.
Right. And we're actually going to see that in some of our verses. That's exactly right. We're all called to serve in a bunch of different kind of ways. And so God is all enabling us. And that's wonderful. I mean, just this thought here that God is making us great, or he's giving us a reward for something that he gave us to do. It wasn't like I earned this reward and I worked really hard and I get my reward. No, he's like, good job for this reward that I gave you all the power to do. You couldn't do any of this by yourself. And I've helped you do it. Now I'm giving you a reward for doing it. I mean, it's like grace upon grace upon grace. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. All right. Where are we here? All right. So now let's look at Matthew 25. This will be helpful. Now we're going to start thinking more specifically about maybe how this word or set of words might be used to give us some information about what does it look like to serve. Matthew 25. And let's look at verse 44 where we find the word. And then we're going to go back into the text to maybe explain what that word means a little bit more. So, Matthew 25, verse 44. So remember, this is Jesus is talking about the end of time, and he's saying, you've given me a glass of water, you've all this, and I'm rewarding you. I'm saying, well done. Here, verse 44, he says, then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And that take care of you is our word. That's the diakonos word. When did we not take care of you? So that word is used in taking care of somebody. But now, think back. Look at, scroll up to verse 37, reading 37 through 39. This is the opposite side where Jesus sort of explains or in more detail talks about each of those facets. Look up at verse 37. The righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Okay, do you see what I'm saying there? Now, in verse 44, he lumps all those into how do we take care of you. But in verses 37 through 39, he sort of explains each of those ways of taking care of somebody. Now, what do you see in verses 37 through 39 about some of the ways that those saints are taking care of Jesus? This is easy stuff. Yes, Lee? So he's feeding you. He said, when you're feeding them, you're feeding me. Yep. Or giving them something to drink. Other things, Rob?
Clothing.
You're giving them clothing. You're giving them a practical need. So, okay, we have clothing. So we have practical things. We have food. We have water. We have clothes. Things you need to live. Rob?
Fellowship.
And fellowship. That's exactly right. You're not leaving them alone. They're in prison, and you're ministering to them. Now, maybe in this context, maybe that was providing things they needed to live. Maybe in their prison, they weren't given enough food or clothes. And so when you ministered to somebody in prison, you were bringing food and clothes to them. So this is very practical, but that wasn't the only thing you're doing, right? When you're ministering to somebody in prison, you're bringing fellowship to them. You're bringing spiritual help to them by encouraging them and building them up. But there's also even one is ministering to them when they're sick. You know, when you're sick, we came to you. You needed help. You were lonely. You felt horrible, and they came alongside of you. So that taking care of you, that diakonos word, is then spelled out in these big ways of meeting physical needs, meeting emotional needs. Someone's lonely, they're sick, they're in prison. Meeting spiritual needs, bringing them, encouraging them, drawing beside them. So you sort of see maybe a picture of the richness of what it means to serve one another in all these variety of kinds of ways. Okay, let's look at one more, or a couple more. Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 3. We're breaking in. Okay, we're just looking for the word to see maybe what it tells us. It says, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. They were contributing to their support. That's our diakonos word, contributing to their support. So we've seen materially taking care of somebody, emotionally, spiritually. But here, it seems like they're very broadly, they're just giving money to support somebody. So as we saw with our speaking gifts, we're going to see a lot of overlap with some of these serving gifts. But the word diakonos here is talking about supporting somebody's needs. They are needy, and we give them needs. Now, you can sort of see how the deacon role is sort of being described here, helping meet those very physical needs, thinking about, you know, financial needs, all those kinds of things. You can see a deacon really playing a lot of these roles. But that's another characteristic we see, providing material support, probably money or whatever they would need there. I think depending how your translation is there, could be that the word contributing to their support would be providing in the ESV or ministering in the King James Version. The ministering. We'll often see those words overlapping. Ministering by their private means. All right. Now this is where it gets interesting. Well, it's all interesting, but look over at Acts chapter 6. Now this is when we start talking about deacons specifically, but it's what's interesting about this in verses 2 and 4, the word is going to be used twice. And Chuck Volo, I think this is going to be coming up to a little bit of what you were saying. Start in verse 2, and then we'll jump down to verse 4. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." So serve is their diakonos word there. So what is he saying, serving tables? What would that look like? A lot of what we talked about, right? Providing meals, food. Waiting on somebody, right? The same word when Mary and Martha was arguing, were complaining that Mary wasn't helping her. So that's the word that was being used. Martha was serving the tables and Mary wasn't helping. That's the idea you get. She's providing those food. But now look at verse 4. They didn't want to, in verse 2, they didn't want to be taken away from the word of God in order to serve tables. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry, same word, diakonos word, of the word. We'll devote ourselves to prayer and the serving of the word. So we don't want to serve tables. We want to serve the word. So what does that mean? When we say ministry, I think we always put a little, my Bible translated that ministry there. Maybe we'd like to think of ministry as this fancy, that's the fancy minister stuff, the preacher, ministers. And in this is, he is going to be serving in a special way. But when we think of the same words being used, what is that implying about how the minister, the pastor, should be dealing with the word? What do you think, David?
People need to have their material needs and their spiritual needs met.
Yeah.
There's different people that are going to be able to meet those various needs. And the church as a body will meet all of those needs.
Yeah.
So together we meet needs.
That's right. And just as Chuck Volt was saying, we're serving. The one is serving the table, serving food they need. The other person is serving the word they need, giving people the word spiritually they need. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful picture that we need this bread of life to live on, and they're serving the living bread. Now, do we need real physical bread? Yes, we need that bread. We need to eat. But do we need the bread of life? Yes, we do. And the elders there were saying, look, we have a focus. God has gifted us to give the bread that lasts forever, the bread that gives eternal life. We don't want to focus on these other things. They're important. Find people to do those. Find the people that God has gifted to do those things. But we want to focus on serving the other. And so the serving is a broad term. You're saying, David?
The other thing is, like well, in the African ministry, I've heard pastors talk about how people don't necessarily know that they have a spiritual need. So they go and they meet some of the physical needs, bring the spiritual, and then they receive both. But the physical is what the thing that opens up the door for
right.
the spiritual.
Yeah, we feel more physically our hungry belly, right? We feel that. Sometimes we don't feel in that same way our spiritual need. Now, when God works on our heart, we start to feel that. But sometimes it is through that physical need of, you do have that hunger. There's an analogy here. You have a deeper hunger that you're just beginning to be aware of. It's really wrecked your life. But yes, that's the need. Sometimes you can use that physical to get to that spiritual. And that's a wonderful connection. But the point here being is a perspective of serving, is an outward, of giving what is necessary, of giving what is needed, emotional support, spiritual help. Even serving the word of God, all that's going to come under this umbrella of serving. So as you can see, people may have overlapping set of gifts. Someone who's a pastor may have a serving gift, as they're eager to serve the word of God, and someone who is good at going alongside somebody who's lonely and coming alongside them. They may be an encourager, but they also have this gift of serving to meet that need, to be looking out for them. But I'm getting ahead of myself, thinking about expressions there. So let's not do all that now. Let's do that in a few minutes. Okay, one last thing. We're going to skip the last one, but look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 20. And again, we're not looking at context. We just want to look for a word to see if it'll help us. Paul writes, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. Now, our diakonos word is in there, but guess where the diakonos word is found in that sentence? It says, that's right, the administration. That's the word. Administration is the same word being translated, the same diakonos serving word, the administration of that word. And I like this verse because maybe for me this thought talked a little bit more about if we're gifted with serving, that maybe we have some wise ability to figure out how best to give, how best to serve someone. There's an administration that considers there's some skill involved in how best to meet someone's need. And a lot of times when we get into people's lives that have significant need, there needs to be real wisdom and real discernment how to best help that person. Because sometimes giving them everything that they want or need isn't going to be what they need, really. And you need discernment. So the administration is a wise use of helping people. And so helping people wisely. Chuck.
It also suggests this sense of stewardship of service, especially for deacons. Mm-hmm. They're it's a delegated authority. They're given responsibility for matters of the church, and they're to be stewards, acting their administration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good thing. And I think we all see this, we look at our stewardship of our gifts, but certainly here, there's a stewardship that we've been given to serve one another. All right, so before we move off, we're going to try to come back and compile some of the characteristics that we've talked about, but are there any other thoughts or things you would want to add when we think of serving? It is very broad. All right, so let's think. What characteristics did we talk about that we see when we look at ourselves? What is a serving gift? That's what serving is generally. So if you are gifted to serve, what would that look like? Take some of those ideas together. What would that look like? Well, the first thing I thought of was someone who is, by God's grace, I think of others first, more often than I think of myself. In a special way, I'm thinking of others. I'm able to, as Jesus did, lay down my life for others. And we're going to see this repeated a little bit. But if God has gifted you in a special way, maybe it's not a big fight for you. God's gifted you to think of others more than you think of yourself. So you're able to serve them freely and openly.
Pastor? Being keenly alert to the physical, material needs of other people.
Amen. And we're going to see that. If you have that sense of, I want to serve others, and God's gifted me that way, then automatically my radar is very aware and finely tuned to what's going on in other people's lives. As they come into my sphere of influence, I'm aware of, are they needy? Do they need help? Now, we all are called to do that, but some of us have kind of really broad radars, and we only get, if somebody's screaming at us, we notice, oh, yeah, you're in pain. But some of us have a really finely tuned radar, and we're like, oh, wow, you seem like you're a little upset today, or you don't quite seem as... That's God's gifting, perhaps, to prepare you to be someone who serves one another. Let's stir up those gifts. Michelle?
Be able to take and follow direction.
Okay, that's right. So you want the sermon of being able to understand how to help somebody take directions, apply them. I think the deacon idea of administering gifts is given broad rules, instructions, and being able to wisely follow through with those things, right? So we want to be able to be careful, thoughtful, wise, competent to meet those needs. And I think that really covers this kind of broad thing, being competent to serve others and being aware of their needs, being willing to lay our life down. Are we all called to do that? Yeah. But some God has given special gifts to do that very effectively. So how would that be expressed? How would that be expressed in the church? Now, again, this might sound a little easy, so you don't want to give examples, but how would that be expressed? Yeah.
Serving the widows.
Amen.
The church is commanded to take care of the widows, and what a great door that is to walk through, because you don't have to make serving difficult. It could be something as simple as cutting a widow's lawn.
Yeah.
Something as simple as everybody can do that. But the other part too is that I've experienced is the other person in the church, their pride can get in the way because they feel that they don't want anyone helping them, or they have to pay them or something like that. So it's kind of like a give and take thing there. But I know I've said in the past, when I've had a lady want to pay me, and I just say to them, God commands me to serve you.
Yeah.
And that's a good way.
That's a helpful, very practical. And what we want this to be is practical. Sometimes we have a sense that God's given me a desire, but how do I work it out? And that's very practical, isn't it? And then finding the language. Maybe someone, you want to help someone, they're like, oh, no, don't help me. And you'd be able to say, no. And you say, look, would you give me the honor of receiving the blessing of helping you, right? God's commanded me, and I would like to take the opportunity to store up some treasure in heaven. Would you allow me? You don't have to pay me. The check's coming from God, right? I want some treasure in heaven, so just give me the opportunity, right? And so let's make that part of our language, how we serve someone. There's nothing wrong. I get paid to do the work I'm doing, and I really like that. So that's nothing wrong with getting paid. But that's not our goal. And sometimes we don't want those things to get in the way of being able to serve someone. That's right. Exactly right. So very practical, helping widows. Any other thoughts?
Mm.
No, that's true though.
Oh, faster it'll be done if more hands are doing it. So seeing people serve can teach people.
So I hear two things there that I was thinking of as well. One is we have practical needs here. This didn't get here by itself, right? This table didn't get here by itself. Those chairs you're sitting here didn't get there by themselves. Practical things had to happen. And people had to serve to put those things up. And one of those things have to happen, and seeing other people do them maybe give me an idea of another way that I can serve, right? Those practical things are happening. But then we've been talking about mentoring and coming alongside one another. A lot of times we think I only have wisdom or experience to share to somebody with someone if I'm really great, if I have these speaking gifts or I have these great encouraging gifts. But just think, if you've spent your life and you've learned to dedicate how you think and how you look at the world into serving one another, and God's gifted you that way, just taking a younger Christian or another Christian alongside of you and just not to show off, but just say, this is how I've thought about these things. As I read my Bible and I'm trying to think, how do I apply this? This is how I've done it. And this is what God has taught me. And maybe God has taught me to look at the needs of those who are around me and just be sensitive to that and automatically think I can help them. And maybe another Christian needs to hear that. And so mentoring, and I'm going to repeat this a lot today, as you come alongside one another, you're a Christian. If you've been a Christian 10, 20, 30 years, there are Christians in this congregation that need your wisdom, that need to learn what God has taught you. And God's brought you here so that you could be someone's friend, that you could mentor them and come alongside them, even so they can learn how to serve better, right? Because that's how we're going to be great in the kingdom. So let's not diminish this. That's a worthy thing, to mentor someone and just serving better, and to being aware of the world around them and how they can enter into that world to serve for the Lord Jesus Christ. So one other thing, that was what I had mainly in mind, but just some other practical needs we set up, tear down, but helping people move, or you have these, someone's going to change houses and they need somebody to help. Have someone who's good at organizing those kinds of things. So just being aware of how can you plug in to see a need and help meet those needs. If this is we're all called to do this, but if this is God specially gifted you, maybe this is a way that you could amplify your activity in the church by finding those needs, meeting those needs, and mentoring others so they might be able to be more useful in the kingdom. All right, Chuck?
Making meals, big one.
Making meals, that's right. And so we could take the widow idea and expand that to sometimes we have other people that are particularly needy, and we have a new mom who has a baby, and or someone who's become sick and they're unable to cook for the family, or just they've had a death in the family, something traumatic has happened and there's just no time or energy to think about things, or you just know someone who's really struggling, they're just struggling to make it, and how nice would it be not to have to worry about dinner that day? And look, take that hour and go sit with your Bible. I brought a meal and I'm going to sit with your kids for an hour. Why don't you just go read and have some time? Isn't that a wonderful way just to serve? But just to think of how can you do that. So let's try to be practical. Very good. So let's move now to giving. So why don't you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he's listing out these gifts that God has given all those who are in Jesus. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. So if you've been gifted with this gift of giving, give with liberality. What does that mean, give with liberality? Liberality. A lot, generously, very, very good, right? The dictionary definition I looked at, marked by generosity, giving a lot, or being open-handed. And I think that'll be a helpful idea as we think of, has God gifted me in this way? Again, as I look through examples in the scripture, all the examples I found, this is a command. We're all commanded to do this. We're all commanded to be giving and sharing, being open-handed. But some of us might be specially gifted in a special way to be able to give more freely, to give be more open-handed with what God has given them. So now it's interesting that the word form is only that's found in Romans 12 is only found like four times in the New Testament. The root word for give is found like all over the place. Just general give. You give anything. Give your life. Give food. Give anything. So I only have a few examples. The first two are from the exact same word form, and in both times it's translated share. So turn back to Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. Now we all know what it means to share. I have my 4-year-old, and I'm trying to teach her to learn, but we've all should have learned. But let's see if we can, I know this is a little bit obvious, but let's see if we can all maybe see a little bit better so we can locate ourselves here in these gifts. So Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. And he would answer them, you may see this familiar, and say to them, the man who has 2 tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. All right, so what do we see there from those verses? What is this to share? Or what can we gain from that idea?
Sue? Share out of our abundance.
All right, right. So it doesn't say necessarily you're just to give your only coat, but if you have two, you have more than you need. You only have one body. You have 2 pieces of clothing. Be open-handed. Be free. Be free, generous, liberal with your ability to share. And the same thing with food, right? So whatever you have, be free with those things. Be willing to share. Now, this is a command. There's a reason why we get all these commands in the Bible. It's because most of us don't want to do that. If I have 2 coats, I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm getting to the coat tomorrow. So that most of us are struggling with this. And the command is we all should do this. We're morally obligated by God to be sharing people. But that's not the point of today's study. The point of today's study is some of us have been specially gifted to be open-handed. We're able to do that without that same maybe fight that I would have. I don't want to share. I want my money to make sure I'm going to be safe tomorrow. Other people might be specially gifted to be more free with their sharing. And then look at Ephesians chapter 4 for another time this word was used, or the same word form. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So that's the same word there, share. So what do we see from that verse about this idea of sharing? I'm not sure that's anything new there from the other. But it's interesting that Paul put this in the context of don't do what's wrong. You're stealing. Don't do that. But we should be doing the opposite of that.
I just say sometimes we think we only need to work enough to satisfy our own needs. You're a Christian, should be working extra in order to give.
Exactly right. It takes that idea of not only don't do what's wrong, but take doing what's right and do it for the right reason, for glorifying God. So I'm not working just to make myself rich. I'm not working so I can build more barns and store up more stuff. I'm working to glorify God so that I can have what I need, and I won't be I won't be dependent on others, but I'll have more than I need so that I can help others. And that sort of perspective is what we work for. We work to glorify God. And part of that is I want to work to support others, to help others, to be used by God. And again, we all should be doing this. This is a moral responsibility for everyone here, but some of us are gifted to think that way. I'm automatically thinking that way. God's gifted me in a special way to think, this all this money God's given me, look, what can I do with it? And most of us don't think that way. Most of us think, wow, thank you, God, for this good gift of money. Oh, I better help these people. But some people are gifted with, look, what this great resource that God has given me to help other people. And that's a special gift from God, to be so liberal and free and open-handed. And if that's you, then we want to think about how do you find that expression to help others and be giving.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, for God loves
cheerful. Amen. Cheerful giver. And that's, we're going to see that again in showing mercy as well. But right, that liberality, the ability to give, I have 2 coats. I'm giving one away, and I'm not grumping about it. I'm not grumbling. I'm not unhappy. I'm not, oh, man, I have to obey God. I have to give him my coat. No, I'm cheerfully. Thank you, God, for giving me 2, because that person needs one. Isn't that great? I could glorify you by giving this coat in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus wants, I want to give this for God's glory, and I can glorify God in that. And that's wonderful. It's a wonderful way to glorify God. The last one, we won't look at that verse, Luke 12, 33. That's not the word form. It's just the root word where Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself money belts, which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes in nor moth destroys. That's just a helpful perspective of the why are we giving? You know, why in general, why are all Christians giving? If we're giving to glorify God, we're storing up treasure in heaven. We're giving away what's going to be burned up to gain what will last forever. And some of you in this room, God's gifted all these gifts. God's pouring into the church, have a special gift for giving. That's how God's gifted you. So characteristics. Well, we have a few more minutes here. Characteristics. What do those characteristics of giving look like, of being willing to share? Chuck?
If you have a gift of giving, usually you have a gift of receiving. God has perhaps given an abundance so that you have more to give.
That's a very practical point. You look at yourself. How has God blessed me? Maybe a lot of blessings for me because he's given me the gift to give. And I need to stir up that gift, and that's open my heart to see a little bit. Sure.
Sometimes when you've been helped a lot, you have a heart for other people who can help.
That's right.
So maybe you've been a lot supporting your life, so you pour it back out.
That's very good. Sometimes God brings us through seasons of trouble so that the God who brings comfort to our affliction so that we could comfort others who are in affliction. Sometimes that's part of how maybe God stirs up that gift. God has brought me through a time of difficulty and struggle, and so that now I'm more aware of people that are going through a similar thing, and I know what it would be to meet that need and to bless them and to give to them, to share with them. Murray?
Kind of a counterpoint to what Pastor Chuck mentioned, we often do think of a person who's well endowed by God with riches. But Jesus pointed to the widow
with her might,
and so she gave more.
Yes.
And so we shouldn't think, oh, well, I don't have those riches, so I have to have the gift of giving. Sometimes the Lord gives real generosity to people who are of small means.
Amen. And isn't that right? That none of our verses have said, only this person is going to get this gift, right? So it's God. Remember, God's the vine dresser. He's the one pruning the vine to make you fruitful, filling your life with blessing and gifts so that you can be fruitful in the way that he wants you to be. And it may be that you'll glorify God in your poverty by being generous with what you have. I only have 2 shirts and I'm willing to give one away. That's absolutely. So the idea of not holding things tightly, being willing to share, aware of others' needs that we've talked about before. And then I think in a lot of these, just being emotionally able to enter into other people's needs. I mean, some people are just more emotionally open to say, that's a needy person that needs money. And that I'm not grumpy about that. I'm not angry about that. I want to enter into their need. I want to help them. I'm emotionally prepared by God to enter into their need and to be sympathetic to their needs. They're not distant. And then in a lot of these serving gifts, as you look at yourself, remember this is not just theoretical. I want you looking at yourself. Where do I locate myself? A love for others. If I'm serving, self-sacrificing, laying my life down, giving of what God has given me, maybe what I was planning for some future thing, but being willing to give, it's because God has given me a love for others. I love others, and I want to serve them, want to give them to meet their needs. We're almost out of time, and I don't want to go over time, so I'm not going to start. I'll leave showing mercy for Chuck, and that was a wonderful one. I wish that we could get to that one. But let's just think for giving. What expressions, how would that look in a church? If you're specifically or specially gifted to give, what would that look like? What would that kind of person look like in the church? How would that be expressed in the church? Maybe similar to serving, but let's see. Jordan?
Sometimes like you can just give time. You don't have to necessarily give money. You just give time to get someone a ride or spend time with someone or something like that.
That's exactly right. I thought that too. We should not only think about giving money. A lot of this is talking about giving material gifts, but if you have a personality, if God has given you a special spiritual gift to give, it's probably not going to be limited to your pocketbook, right? It's probably going to be your whole life. You're just a person who's free about all that God's given you. And that I want to interact with that person. I want to help that person. I want to be giving my time to do this. I'm not keeping everything for myself. And again, we all should be doing this, but some of us are specially gifted. Does that seem to be? Chuck?
I'm thinking back to Joanna and the women who supported Jesus. Private need, but also to kingdom expansion.
Very good. So we're going to find a lot of those needs from the church, going out into the church, finding ways to being aware of our community. How can we give into our community and stir others up to give into our community, to reach out?
I think sometimes a person with a gift of giving delights in doing it anonymously.
Yes.
And it's not always right to do it anonymously. Sometimes it's helpful to let the person know, you know, I love you and I encourage you. I want you to know this came from me.
Right.
To be personally encouraged. But at other times, people who have that gift, they're content to do it anonymously.
Yeah.
They kind of smile in the corner as they see the need met.
Yeah.
Because they're doing it to the glory.
That's right.
God.
I thought that as well. That if this is your gift, remember this, looking, is God especially using me this way? is my heart not for, oh, I want people to see me. My fear of man and my interest in my reputation is the issue. But if God's given me this gift to give, I'm happy. I'm content to give anonymously because I'm serving God. I want, as we talked about at the very beginning, I want this to glorify God. And it glorifies God. Sometimes you need to be known, but sometimes it glorifies God for someone to get it. I don't know who to give thanks to. So I have only one person to give thanks to. I give thanks to God that He used some person to give me this money that I needed or this meal that I needed. And that, boom, glory goes right up to God. And if that's how your heart is, maybe God's given you the spiritual gift of giving. And then lastly, I just want to say, come back to mentoring. Not everybody is good at giving. And maybe if God has blessed you with just the ability to think through life, maybe you think through your pocketbook. How do you think about money? With a focus on giving. That's how God's gifted you. Wouldn't that be good to come along as a young Christian who's starting life and think, this is how I think through life. Now, you don't have to do it this way, but this is just what I thought about. Let's talk about it together. This is how I think about my money. This is how I think about my paycheck. This is how I think about my time. And this is how God has taught me. And I'm not dogmatically telling you this is how to live, but God's worked through these scriptures into my life this way. Maybe this will be a practical way for you to help to start thinking about your Christian life. So that you might be more useful, you might be more free to give, you might be more free to serve. So we need this, and we need this from one another. And if God has given you this special gift, there's a place for you to serve in giving one another, but also being a mentor and a friend and an example, and not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Right? All right, well, let's stop there. Thank you for your participation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you, God, that you've given us spiritual gifts, that you have, in your wisdom and in your power, you have enabled us, this weak body of believers, this body of sinners, you've given us gifts so that we might be useful in your kingdom. So, God, help us to stir up those gifts. Help us to use those gifts and glorify yourself by using weak instruments like us to do your work in the world. Father, we love you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself up for us. Now help us, Lord, likewise to give ourselves up for all of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.